Well, welcome everybody. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast for Stories for Joshua. Before we get started, let me say that there are a couple of places in this section that I'm doing today where I use curse words that are, or at least I felt, were appropriate to explain the situation that I was in. So if you have little ones around, you might want to either put on some earphones or go into another room. So I just want to let you know about that before we get started. We're on day 13 of the journey. Now, I am sharing these things, obviously, for a purpose, to communicate and to share my life with people. But I certainly don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. I had a wonderful life. I've had a wonderful life, wonderful childhood, despite all the things that I'm talking about. So please, no matter how difficult some of these things may sound, just realize that I'm sharing it. So perhaps if someone else is going through a time like that, they can realize that there is a possibility of getting out of that, a better days ahead, things to learn from and to grow and to change. So today's sharing is along those lines. May not be very pleasant to hear, but I do need to share it, and I want to share it with you. So this is day 13, Daddy's last day with us. We finally had to leave 1101 Colonial Avenue and move to a tiny house on Memorial Drive, almost directly across from the bowling alley there in Greenville. When I say tiny, I mean tiny. I've seen apartments bigger than this house. We had one bathroom, three tiny bedrooms, a very small kitchen, and one living room slash dining room combo area, I guess. I'm sure it was all Mama could afford at the time because Daddy wasn't working and hadn't been working for several years. At one point, while we lived on Colonial Avenue, Daddy decided he was going to go back to college and get his master's degree in geography. Maybe he thought he was going to be a teacher or maybe even a professor at the college. I don't know, with his ego, where it would have gone. But he worked on his master's in geography degree. And then when he was almost finished, he decided that, no, he really wanted a master's degree in history. So he switched. This went on for several years. And at some point, I really don't know why, I was too young to ask, but he just quit everything and didn't work anymore. He would stay up drinking until the TV stations went off the air. Yes, they did that in those days. Around midnight or 1 a.m., they shut down and didn't come on again until 6 or 7 in the morning. I forget exactly. Then he would sleep in till noon, and I have no idea what he did during the day. I just wanted to be out of the house and away from him. I joined Boy Scouts, choir, the swim team in high school, anything and everything I could do to just leave the house. The only thing good about that house on Memorial Drive was that I could now ride my bike to my longtime friend Jim Winslow's house on Hooker Road. I'll tell you more about Jim and his family later. We had some great times together. A few days ago, I said that the police had come to our house on Memorial Drive several times because neighbors or somebody thought that the fighting just was getting too violent and they had to do something, so they called the police. Even though the police had to respect Mama when she said that she was all right because she probably feared Daddy, they would not do anything and just leave. I was almost 16 by now and as big as Daddy, but I didn't think of it that way. Your daddy always seems bigger when you're a kid. One day he challenged me to an arm wrestling contest at the dining room table. I agreed, and after a few minutes that we had been going there, I actually beat him. I was elated. I don't remember his reaction, but as I looked at Mama, she was paralyzed with fear. I didn't understand at the time, but she probably was afraid Daddy would retaliate. Instead, I think it scared him. This was the mid-60s, and the Beatles were all the rage. All the boys wanted to have their hair just like the Beatles, long and hanging down in front. Daddy had always combed his hair back, like all, quote, respectable men in those days, maybe like Elvis. So this irritated the hell out of him. He would say that men don't have, quote, bangs, as he called them. So he made me comb my hair back, or at least to the side so it was out of my face, which I did until I left the house, and then I would pull it down across my forehead. That summer, he told me once again to get my hair out of my face, which meant to push it back or to the side. But that didn't please him. So he told me to go into the bathroom and, quote, trim my bangs, end quote. I was still pretty dominated by him, so I went to the bathroom and I trimmed my hair in the front. I came out at least twice, and he sent me back because it wasn't good enough. Finally, I took the scissors and cut off everything in the front down to the scalp. And then I looked in the mirror and said, "Are you happy now, Daddy? You will never get to me again. This is it, you son of a bitch." Then I walked out of the bathroom and defiantly looked at him, and he just laughed and didn't say a word. Daddy never hit me, but he did get rough with my sister Debbie. He certainly didn't mind hitting Mama, but for us kids it was a little different. His specialty was criticism. He was extremely cruel verbally. He could make you feel like the most worthless person in the world, and he seemed to have fun doing it. My poor sister got the brunt of it, maybe because she was female, constantly was critical of her physical appearance. One night, there was an especially bad fight. Debbie and I never had a peaceful night's sleep there at that house because fighting was a regular thing. Anyway, at one point, Mama cried out my name, and I jumped out of bed and met Daddy in the hallway. He must have been intimidated because he just looked at me and said, "It's all right, just go back to bed." I'm not sure what I would have done, but I was there, and I wasn't backing down. I went in my room and went back to bed, and everything seemed to be quiet after that. They stopped fighting that night, and at least it was quiet so we could go to sleep. Back in the day, you only had one phone in the house, and it was attached to the wall or a desk. Ours was attached to the wall just outside my bedroom, so I could hear everything that anybody said on the phone. I heard Daddy talking to Grandmama, crying as he did when he wanted to get his way, and asking if he could, quote, come home, end quote. By this time, the man was in his late 30s, and he wanted to come home. All I could think of was, "Leave, you bastard, nobody wants you here." Soon after that, Debbie and I were called into the office at the high school one afternoon, and Mama was there. She told us that the sheriff had gone to the house and made Daddy pack and leave. I was to go spend the night in Little Washington with my Uncle Duncan, Mama's brother. Debbie and Mama stayed with a friend there in Greenville. As I rode with my uncle to his home, I told him the greatest thing I feared was that when it was time for me to be a daddy, that I wouldn't know how. That's a pretty sad commentary for a 16-year-old to come up with, I think. A day or so later, we went back to the house on Memorial Drive. It was the first time I could remember the house being quiet at night. No fighting, no noise. Soon after, we moved to Mead Street, just about 2 blocks from the college, and life started over for us.